WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Protein degradation can target and destroy cancer-causing proteins right inside the cell. It's how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere. WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment, How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at BrennanCenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So how many of you have heard of Slack? It's a relatively young workplace chatting app that has caught fire with workers, often media and tech companies. Slack boasts of 10 million daily users. On Thursday, it made a big splash on the stock exchange, opening to a $20 billion valuation. Slack aspires to revolutionize office communications and is described as the dreaded email replacement. But as more and more offices use Slack, debate has risen over just whether it simplifies work life or complicates it. Or is it just another tool for employers to keep you connected to work too much? We're having our own internal conversations about Slack here at WNYC. Many office internal communications have migrated to Slack. My guest is John Herman, media reporter for the New York Times, and he'll talk about the rise of Slack, if it's changing office culture for better or worse, how different people see it. And listeners, we're opening up the phones right away. Are you fans of Slack? If you have used the technology, or do you hate it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. How is it useful? How does it complicate work life? If you haven't used Slack yet and you want to learn more about it or find out what's the big deal, you can also call with a question, 212-433-9692 for John Herman, New York Times media reporter. Hey, John, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Slack is an acronym, right?
Yeah.
For?
That's immediately blanking on this. You know what? I can't produce
okay,
this right
we'll
now.
Okay, we'll find it. We'll find it. And Slack, the company, does what?
Slack produces workplace communication software. That might be a way that they would describe it. Basically, it's a professional chat room. So it's a system by which or through which everyone in a workplace is given an account. And through that account, they can talk to each other in rooms created by their bosses or managers, rooms created by their colleagues, organized by topic or task. You know, it's pretty simple in the big picture. It gets a lot more complicated as you use it.
And here's what the acronym stands for, and we will immediately understand why people both love it and hate it, even from the name. Slack is an acronym for Searchable Log of All Conversation and Knowledge.
Right. Which was, you know, a funny tongue-in-cheek kind of joke that you might make at the early stages of developing a product that wasn't even really intentionally developed. I mean, maybe that's a bit of an overstatement, but it was created by a company that was making a game and wanted to develop tools to collaborate on this game. And then it turned out that the tools they made were the business, and now here we are.
Right. So as attractive as it sounds to have a searchable log of all conversation and knowledge, it also sounds like the overlords are watching you.
Certainly, if it's a small office of tech employees who, you know, go out and have a drink after work together, that's sort of cute. But when you're rolling it out at a company with, you know, 50,000 employees, that's quite a different acronym.
Your piece quotes a market researcher who says that Slack represents a shift from using static files to collaborative applications. So how would it be different from something like Google Docs, which is collaborative?
Certainly. Google Docs is, basically an online replacement for Microsoft Word. What it does along with letting you access your documents from anywhere is it allows you to collaborate with, you know, two people or 20 people on one document in real time. Slack is a sort of layer on top of that. It's a way to collaborate on all sorts of things in real time. So again, it is just a chat room, just like we've been familiar with for, you know, coming on 30 years now, but it's a chat room that can connect directly to something like Google Docs. So maybe there's a document that you're collaborating on with one part of your workplace. That document can be pulled into Slack so other people can collaborate on it in a different way. Maybe not editing it line by line, but incorporating it into some larger workflow. It's the layer through which everything is sort of connected. And in that sense, it's a replacement, not for email in the like send each other a message sense, but for email in the form that it has assumed in the last 10 years, which is just this place where all the different parts of our online work are just crashing together.
And for some, the issue with Slack has been interruptions, like Sarah Peck from Online Community Startup, from the group Startup Pregnant, which is an online community, there I said it right, was quoted saying this: when you prioritize streams of information, you deprioritize deep, thoughtful communication. Urgency trumps importance. Does that reflect a widespread concern about Slack?
Certainly. It's one of the first things you notice, that you've gone from a world in which you sort of know how to either keep up with your email or fail to keep up, to a world where you're getting all these new notifications and where the conversations are happening in real time all around you. And there's a great deal of research, mostly centered around email, about how people can work deeply for, you know, certain amounts of time and can really be productive if they have more than maybe 15 minutes to focus on a task, versus people who are better at or more capable of interrupting themselves or being interrupted and still continuing to work. And again, all that research has been conducted in a world where workplace chat wasn't so widespread, and here we are adopting a totally new technology, by the million, where the distractions, whether you're good at coping with this or not, are constant.
Trevor in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on. Yes, I've been using Slack. We have a small delivery company called Free Your Arms, and we are fully distributed, so our teammates are located overseas, located in different parts of the city, and it's been an excellent tool. It saves us on office space, and I'm on it every day, so I have nothing but good things to say about Slack.
Trevor, thank you so much. Josephine in Highland Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Josephine.
Hi, listen, I have not such positive things to say about Slack. I think it can be used successfully as a chat room, but I really ran into problems with it in a course I was part of. If you want to go back a couple weeks and maybe look for a document that's attached to a line in the chat, it's almost impossible to find it. It's like spaghetti.
Thank you very much. That's what it's a dreaded coder's term, right? Spaghetti code.
Right.
When they're writing for software and it's all mangled together. Deborah in Scarsdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I use Slack for political organizing, like the text banking programs. Use Slack to answer questions and give assignments to people who want a text bank.
And why is it more useful for that for you than email or text or WhatsApp or whatever?
Well, that's the point. The point is that, you know, and then I also use it for Indivisible. They have different channels for different Indivisible groups. And what happens is it's just like millions of other things to check. You have to check your email. You have to check Facebook. You have to check Twitter. You have to check Slack now. And then there are a million different Slack channels and work groups. You know, it just becomes overwhelming.
Deborah, thank you very much. Common complaint, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people hear about Slack think, well, okay, here this thing, here it comes, the next email, the future of work, we've got to get on board. And so they do it. And one of the most common stories you hear is just of an office that has added Slack, that is still emailing, still using some other workplace collaboration software, that has all these old systems that have been built over years, that now has this new system that sort of ties them all together. Then half the people end up not using it, or people are alienated by the way other people use it, and things like that. It requires, I think, a great deal of intentionality to do it right. It's a big, new, complicated system. And as one person I spoke to in reporting the story said, you wouldn't just throw your furniture in an office space. You set it up. Like, you design your workspace. Otherwise, nothing will ever get done.
Like any new technology. Is there a generational divide with who likes it?
I don't want to say for sure that there is, but I've certainly heard heard people suggest that that's the case. And I think, it's reasonable to expect that people who grew up chatting all the time, in group texts all the time, or who have used group chat in a social capacity, are instantly comfortable in this sort of setting. And then people who didn't grow up with that, who
more use email, like one person at a time.
Certainly, who are used to email or phones or asynchronous sort of not real-time communication online, they see this sort of easy way in which some people use the software that seems probably too casual, and wonder why this is happening. Do they have to do that? Do they have to perform like that?
And the casual nature, from what I gather, leads to a certain level of bonding. Emails about work become jokes about cat memes, and then people invite their coworkers to hang out. One criticism has been that it fits this kind of work culture where people don't want to set boundaries.
It certainly does. It is extremely popular in startups for a variety of reasons, but it matches the culture of a lot of startups that are, I won't say poorly managed, but sort of lightly managed. Places that are constantly hiring, growing very quickly, moving offices all the time. Where a lot of people are fairly young, where people do hang out after work a lot, and where things get messy in other ways. The types of places that discover, 3 or 4 years into their existence that they need an HR department are the same places where Slack is both very powerful and potentially very problematic.
We here use Slack in some departments in addition to email. It hasn't come to our show's department yet. But is part of the goal to use email less, or even for it to replace email?
That's one of the pitches that you hear again and again from Slack itself, that it can reduce email, that it can reduce wasted communication. But when you read these pitches more closely and talk to people about what they get out of Slack, it really does seem like email has just become such a villain and such a burden to so many people, and that it's become this sort of umbrella a complaint for all sorts of other work problems, that to just say you're going to fix email is immediately
attractive.
Very appealing.
Yeah. We have 30 seconds left. Am I right that Microsoft banned its employees from using Slack? Microsoft of all places?
Well, Microsoft has its own workplace communication software. I'm sure it would prefer its employees
use. Is that why? Just for competitive reasons?
As far as I know, but I can't speak to that.
So there we leave it with information and more questions to ask about Slack, which did, I guess, make a very successful stock market debut the other day.
Yeah, I think it's got a very successful future in front of it.
John Herman, media reporter for The New York Times. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.